is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Thank you for being here this afternoon. The program, a presentation of Concrete Builders Supply. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us. We talk to him periodically every week or so to cover a lot of aspects related to the COVID-19 situation. Dr. Bob, good afternoon.
Thank you.
So let's begin kind of at the large global view of COVID-19. What are you seeing in nations around the world right now? What are some of the hot spots?
Well, it is still a brisk pandemic. We are sort of stuck in the world at between 200,000 and 300,000 new cases every day. The hotspots in the world now are Brazil, India, and the U.S. Brazil has really struggled, and India has also really struggled, given the fact that they've got such a large and dense population. In the U.S., the case is actually down this week. We've hit under 50,000 for 2 days in a row, which is great. The first time we've done that in about 6 weeks. Now, the disease is still very, very prominent in California, Texas, and Florida. Arizona is getting it under better control, but other states in the South, Georgia, Mississippi, Tennessee, Missouri, all are really struggling this week.
And what about Oregon?
Oregon's been pretty steady. We've ranged between about 150 and 300 cases a day, which is a lot, but about that number over the last few weeks. Looks like it's slightly coming down, but it's slow. Still lots of disease in the Portland area and still seeing a lot of cases in Umatilla and Ballachier County.
And I noticed as well, in fact, just looking at the new state numbers a bit ago, it seems like a bit of an uptick in Jackson County.
Yeah, Jackson County has had a few new cases, so we're watching carefully. Lane County has also had a few new cases, so we're kind of in a pincer grip here, looking to hope to be sure we don't see that in Douglas County.
Yesterday, the Oregon Health Authority put out its weekly testing report that showed that as of the middle of the month, the 15th, the state's cumulative positive testing rate is 4.5%, and that's way lower than the national average.
That is way lower than the national average, and Douglas County is even much lower than that. So our cumulative rate is 2% or so. So typically, Douglas County does better than the state of Oregon, and Oregon does better than the country.
And statewide last week, 5.4% were positive test results. OHA feeling like COVID-19 is no longer increasing rapidly in the state. Would you go with that assessment?
Well, I think we're steady at this point. I looked at that this morning, and it looks like we're reproducing just a little bit less than one, which suggests that the rate should slowly, slowly come down. But we don't want it to slowly come down because the state rate's in the 40s now. And to open school, we have to be less than 10%, 10 cases per 100,000. So we would like it to come down even quicker. Now, Douglas County has done great. Depending upon how the numbers shake out, we're right at that 10 per 100,000. Which would allow us to open K all the way through 12.
What about for the virus in general, as this evolves? We've never gone through something like this before, so it's from the science side, it is a little hard to grasp sometimes, but what are some of the maybe newer things about how knowledge of the virus, things that are, you know, you're finding out, things that are out there for public health officials?
Well, there was some very good news today. There was a fishing boat from Seattle where they tested everybody for antibodies before they left, and three people of the 122 on board the ship had good levels of antibodies. Unfortunately, there was a COVID outbreak on the ship. One person got quite ill, and about 108 got ill, but the three that had neutralizing antibodies did not get ill, suggesting that the presence of neutralizing antibodies may be protective against infection.
And explain more about what that means in terms of the presence of antibodies.
So the presence of antibodies happens after we get infected with an illness. The concern has been with COVID whether these antibodies would be protective and how long they would last. Well, these antibodies in these guys, the men, lasted for a few months, and they seem to be wholly protective. So that's good news. Now, the problem was there were only three out of 122 who had those antibodies. So 108 people still got infected.
Wow, that's a big number. Wanted to ask you about travel. I mean, it's the heat of summer. People are dying to go places. There are some people that have to travel in certain industries. Of course, you have truck drivers and folks like that that are basically in a vehicle going from point A to B. But you have other people that have medical-related jobs and other things that require travel. If you're traveling, how do you travel in the most safe manner?
So it's not the travel in and of itself that gets you. It's the gatherings that happen during the travel. So if you're going to travel and get takeout food, the risk is very low. If you're going to travel and stop at a bar, the risk is high. If you're going to travel and have an outdoor gathering with your family, the risk is pretty low. If you're going to be gathering and then sleeping and staying with your family members, the risk is high. So the travel only is important because the travel is frequently linked with these other gatherings. So grandma comes to visit from another state, and she comes and visits each of her kids inside. She has now exposed each of those kids to whatever virus she might have been exposed to in the other state. So our recommendation would be, if grandma's going to want to visit, that she plans an extra 2 weeks in her trip. And when she gets to Oregon, quarantines for 2 weeks at a hotel or a lakeside cottage or something like that, and then visits the kids, in which case the risk to people in Douglas County is much lower.
And some people I've heard about just in recent weeks talking to folks about things that are happening summertime-wise, where they've done family gatherings and met, maybe one group of the families in this area, another might be in another county, and everybody's talked about doing these things outside where they stay more distant, but they can enjoy talking and checking up on people. Seems to be kind of from the mental health side, a lot of concern about not seeing some of your close relatives for a long time.
And that is a concern. We are recognizing that there's an increasing mental health component to this COVID outbreak. And so, yeah, if you can visit people and visit outdoors, so my son wanted us to visit, and we visited him, and we had a lovely outdoor dinner where we were about 6 or 8 feet apart the whole time. The risk of exposure was very, very small, yet the dinner was incredibly delightful.
And, I even noticed the last couple of mornings when I'm out checking on news stories before we go on the air live at 7, actually passed, and it looked like it must have been the same group, actually passed one of the fast food places here in Roseburg, and a group of two or three guys that are older, 65 plus, that had a big table, and I'm not sure if it came from the side of the building or if they actually had it, and one of them had a pickup, were actually having breakfast outside in the parking lot of a fast food place.
Well, again, outdoors seems to be so much safer than indoors. So if you want to eat, please eat outside. We have such beautiful weather these days. It was a little hot a couple of days, but for the rest of the time, it's really very, very nice. So really suggest that as much as we can do outdoors, we do.
And a lot of people like to go to the beach or go hiking the North Umpqua, something like that. I've heard from some folks who, as a couple or as a family, gone to the beach together and parked off to the side somewhere and went out walking on the beach and exploring, and were literally able to go over there and come back and have no interaction with anybody. Or in a couple of cases, they went through a drive-thru to get food and then went and ate in a private area that way. But as opposed to maybe some of the ways they would normally do it, where they would do more shopping or things like that.
So that would be the safe way to do it. I was at the coast this weekend doing our swabbing clinic in Reedsport, and we stopped at the dunes, and there were lots of people at the dunes. But again, being outdoors, being socially distanced, we think that's a safe activity. And if that's a safe activity you enjoy, you should go ahead and do it. If you want to hike on the North Umpqua Trail, you should do it. It's the closed indoor gatherings that seem to cause the problems. So, for example, we've seen in this last week that the fraternities at the University of North Carolina have had big outbreaks, and has been almost all indoor activities at the sorority and fraternity houses that have led to the spread. So again, meet with people, but do it outdoors and socially distance.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us. More when we come back. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson on the way at 1. State Senator Dallas Hurd will be on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer with us. Well, here we are, the middle of August, and school in some form starting in about 2 to 3 weeks, depending on the district. And most schools planning to start online, go in person when they can. But there are some variables there with the location and things like that. This is a little bit of a complex situation.
It is a complex metric as to which schools can open. We know that very rural schools in areas where there have been no cases are very low risk. So there's different rules for them than for schools that are in a more urban area. In addition, we think that kids in K-3 really need in-person education, so there are different rules for people K-3, different rules for people who need hands-on things like a welding class, and different rules for people in special education because it's really hard to do special ed over the Zoom.
In talking to the Roseburg School District, they're starting totally online, hoping to go in-person to K-3 early in October and then up the road later for the other grades. And one of the challenges has been for some districts looking at that. There have been hopes that Douglas County would meet the metrics for K-3 in time to start. But when you don't know if you can, you've kind of got to plan one way, and then it'd be easier to shift to in-person learning than to have to shift the other way when you were hoping to. It's just been a back-and-forth juggle. I've been talking to a number of educators and administrators, and it's been a very long summer for them with very little of the typical summer break.
I would agree. I met with superintendents on a very regular basis about what's happening over the summer. So far, Douglas County has done great. We've been under the 30 and under the 5% each of the weeks that they've measured. And thus, if we continue on the same trajectory, we should be opening up K-3 for all of the schools in the county soon. Unfortunately, I can't predict the future. I mean, we could have a big outbreak with 30 cases, in which case then we would no longer meet the metrics. But so far, we're doing a very good job. People are doing a great job at social distancing. As I walk around, I think people are doing a very good job with masks. And I think businesses are doing a good job keeping their outbreaks small.
I know for the schools as well, it's been a lot of refitting things. In some cases, getting desks instead of tables so kids could be more distant and kind of revamping how you lay out a room. Even some of the challenges this year, once kids are in person, or for those that are, things like serving lunch, but not in the cafeteria.
Right. So we think that the more social interactions you have, the higher risk of getting the disease. So if you think of the previous day where you'd ride the bus, have breakfast with a group of kids, play in the playground with a different group of kids, go to class with another group of kids, go to art class with another group of kids, have lunch with another group of kids, the number of people you could expose in a day would be enormous, and one case could expose the whole school. So the goal this year is to move in small cohorts so that the second graders in Mrs. Smith's class would get there. Most would be driven, some would walk, and some would take the bus. And if there was a case there, only that small cohort then would need to be quarantined and everybody else could continue on at school with very, very low risk.
And as well, one of the aspects of the metrics is the difference between K-3 and grade four and up. Explain why there's a differentiation there.
Well, when you look at the risks and benefits, the risk of disease in the K-3 group is much smaller. Kids less than 10, which is usually that age group, tend to get the disease less, they tend to get less sick, and they tend to spread it less. The other points for K-3 is it's really hard to do online learning K-3 because in K-3 you're learning to read in the older grades, we think you're reading to learn. So you could really do online much easier for the 10th grade than the K to 3. And then the last factor is it's really easy to cohort a second grade class. You arrive in the class, you stay in the class, you go out together as a class to the playground, and you go back, you have lunch in the room, and then you leave. You may only expose just your class. In high school, it's logistically very difficult because people have all different schedules. And so an infected kid may see somebody in the English class, the biology class, the band class, and then the lacrosse team, and could really expose lots of kids. So logistically, it's harder for older kids. They could do better online, and we think they are also more likely to spread it.
One of the things that has become very clear as this has gone on, and especially during the summer, with all the things kids couldn't do and very limited opportunities for small cohorts to be in different types of art classes or things like that, is the whole mental health aspect of this. Are you concerned that we're going to have some either short or potentially long-term issues for kids who have grown up with this situation the past few months?
Well, we know we already have some very, very strong short-term issues. And those issues have been in people with underlying depression or anxiety, having much more depression and much more anxiety during this time. In addition, when we look at the things that can help improve our mental health, is being outdoors, social activities, talking with friends. And we know that those things may be curtailed during this time. So we really do worry about the short-term stuff. Now, kids are pretty resilient, and so many kids will get over this, but it'll depend upon how long it lasts and how much negative stuff they see, so that if parents and grandparents are dying in this epidemic, obviously this is going to have very long-term issues. So far in Douglas County, we've had very, very, very few deaths.
One of the aspects as well to this is for the kids, you grow up, maybe you're 10 now, and you've had the first 9.5 years of your life that functioned one way, and now suddenly there's all these shifts. Adults, in some ways, maybe don't adapt as well, but for kids, some of the changes, some of the things they haven't been able to do probably come as quite a shock to their system.
It does. And so the kids really are missing out on some of the things that they typically enjoy. So summer camps were greatly curtailed this year. Sports are a great deal for kids. Playing soccer on the field, all those great things that kids like are going to be curtailed this year. So we are really worried about that. And that's why the goal is to get this epidemic under control. Because in other countries where they've been able to get it under control, life can return to pretty much normal for kids. They can go back to playing soccer. They can go back to school. They can go back to sports. And that's what we're looking for.
Now, sports are out for the fall. What do you think about when they can resume?
Well, I'm terrible about predicting, especially the future. A lot of it will depend upon what happens with this epidemic. On the positive side, I think we've seen some great stuff on vaccines. That looks like they're progressing well. And so it's possible we could get a vaccine as early as the first of the year. On the other hand, there are a number of great therapeutics out there that may turn this from being a really feared disease for older people to a disease, but something we can treat. And then I'm always confident that we're going to be able to improve our public health contact tracing so that we can drive this disease down. So, you know, my hope is that by springtime, we are back to what's maybe a more new and maybe better normal.
What about the idea, though, somebody has brought up, well, not more somebody, more than one person, a number of people have mentioned along the way, when you talk about getting a vaccine, that there have been things that historically, AIDS, for example, where, you know, attempts have been made, and yet years later, you're still dealing with the situation. Is there any fear that a vaccine is not going to pan out for this?
Well, there certainly is always a worry. So a vaccine is a very complicated path. The good news is that the first few steps of the path have gone pretty well. So coming up with the antigen, finding that it's safe in small groups, and finding that it produces neutralizing antibodies is pretty darn great. For disease like HIV, where we've looked for a vaccine for a long time, we never got quite this far. So we're making very good progress on this. And I was listening to Dr. Fauci yesterday, and his hope is that sometime in the spring of 2021, we'll have enough vaccine, enough people getting the vaccine, so that the level of immunity that gets high enough that the disease can be eradicated.
All right, County Public Health Officer Dr. Bob Dannenhofer, thanks for being on this afternoon.
And thank you for having me.
1257, News Radio 1240, KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.